I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about God's genes. God's genes, God's genetics. Yesterday we did a communion meditation talking about we are God's children. And we asked for just wisdom and insight and to help us walk out our lives and that identity. But we also asked for wisdom and insight into what that means for us. How do we walk out our lives as God's children? I feel like something God's just been bringing to mind over the last day. And I've had this thought before. If we are God's children, we're born again through his seed. We're born of this imperishable seed. We're born again through God's seed in our heart. If it's his seed, that means we also have his genetics. We've inherited his genetics. What are genetics? Genetics are traits that are passed on from one generation to the next. It means we've got his genetics. Something to be received by faith for us today. So we're going to be taking communion over this. Just asking for God to be receiving this by faith, but also asking God, what does this mean for us? How do we walk this out in our life? This understanding that we've got God's genetics. And you think about all that's been given in Christ. We've been given his mind and wisdom. Got the mind of Christ. Says everything God has, he gave to Jesus. We get to be in him, the life that the Apostle Paul says, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. God's genetics. Just thinking about that for a moment. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I pretty much had no spiritual life whatsoever. My life was very unbalanced. I was constantly stressed. I was working way too much. Was running my personal training gym business and life was just not going the way that I wanted it to go. My business was very up and down. I was losing money some months. And I remember just walking around the neighborhood with my wife one day, telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to live. And then shortly after that, I came across a challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. If you read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day, it'll change your life. On day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. The second day of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. You keep going like that until you get to the end of the month. It's got 31 chapters, and then you start back over again. Well, I had been doing this for a while, and God was starting to work on me, starting to renew my mind from the inside out. And then one day, I came across this verse in Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create manuals. I'm going to create lessons and systems, a program that I can use to pass on lessons for every area of life, areas like purpose and health and family and finance, all the different areas of life. And like I said, I really didn't have much spiritual life whatsoever, but I got started on this journey with God. From that point on, my relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. He began to teach me, began to train me, to turn into this whole program we have now called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important lesson I would want to pass on is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It can turn the tables, it can turn things around in our life and change the trajectory moving forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. Over and over in the Old Testament, God told the people, don't forget me. Don't forget your covenant with me. It's this opportunity to remember, to stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance, making it active and relevant in our lives today. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity to receive these promises from God, to activate them in our lives, to receive them by faith, and to have a marker in time to say, you know what, that day that I took communion over that, That was the day that I received that promise, and God's helping me walk it out in my life from that point on to change the trajectory of our lives going forward. We come out of communion, hopefully different every time we take it. We're coming out of it today. We've got God's genes. We've got his genetics functioning in our lives. And we can combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus to pull that into our mind and remembrance in our soul, and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the taking of the cracker and juice to unite our entire spirit, soul, and physical body together. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and honor and reverence and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember the lead up to the cross. He was rejected by his own people, betrayed by one of his own disciples. He was spit on, he was whipped, he was beaten, he was mocked, nailed to the cross, nails in his hands and feet, crown of thorns on his head, pierced on his side. It says it pleased God to crush him. I think the worst part of it all, he was separated from God. He felt the full cup of God's wrath being poured out on him. But on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same spirit, that same victorious power that raised him from the dead now lives on the inside of us. Lives on the inside of us. He makes us children of God. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. He makes us his children. We've got God on our side. We can have this new covenant with him, this partnership. We become family. I think it's important we remember both sides of that. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, if we take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice, because I truly believe all the principles of exercise are meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith and experiencing God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better. That the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us. This inheritance that is in us. Think about that as we talk about this genetics today. And the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us, so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today. And help us be sensitive to those opportunities. Ask you to keep your hands on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? And masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals. It's executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into them today. And how are we going to make today a masterpiece? We're going to get connected to the master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God, but our relationship with him's got to be brought down into today, to impact the decisions we make, the things that we do, the things that we speak, the things that we're thinking about, to impact every area of our life today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in between. And every day we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. We're going to start with humility. Simple, childlike faith and humility. Jesus says you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you got to become like this little child. Humbling ourselves like little children in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. It's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to let it flow through us. We're going to forgive ourselves. And we're going to let that flow through us to other people, giving them the same grace and forgiveness God has given us. We're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, always or delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today, one of the greatest expressions of faith. It's one of the easiest ways to just stay in position all day. And staying in position is a big deal, because when we're in position to receive all that God has for us. Imagine a quarterback's getting ready to throw the ball and the receiver runs the wrong direction. He's out of position to receive. When we get in position, we're in position to receive all that God has for us. And what does he have for us in the light? When we step into the light, we get in position, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has and he gave it all to Jesus. His spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his time and finances, as we're talking about today, his genetics. It's all in the light, available to be received today. We got to get in position, and then we got to learn how to get it flowing through us, where we see the fruit of it out in the world. Which leads us to our second fundamental, which is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. And we're going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant established in our hearts, where we have hearts that understand his grace and we become more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. And when I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are those things that we're just rolling over and over and over again in our minds? You probably had the example where you had some issue or problem, and the more you thought about it, the more you talked about it, the more confused you actually became, the more it seemed like the problem just grew bigger. Well, that same principle works with the things of God. The more we magnify them, the more we magnify him, the more it grows on the inside of us. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. His unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him, our righteousness in Christ, we've got peace with God, we've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. He planted his seed on the inside of us. He's got everything needed for life and godliness. We become his children. We can magnify everything that's going well, looking back at all that God has already done in our life. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to magnify them. Instead of rolling those problems over and over in our mind and toiling away in our mind, we're going to let them go. We're going to give them to God. And we're going to magnify him as bigger than those problems. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, magnifying the ways people have wronged us or all the issues that we're facing, rather than resting and trusting in him. And that's where we're going to learn to recognize the symptoms. Because when we're out of position or we're magnifying the wrong things, it's going to produce side effects and symptoms in our life. When we're in darkness, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people. We might snap at them, might withhold good things that we know to do because somebody did something we didn't like. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. On the inside, you'll feel all this heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry, the dread of the future as we're envisioning all these worst case scenarios, confusion about which steps to take or which direction to go, and just this toil and torment in our mind. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul, this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless because we've got his peace and his joy and his spirit and his power and his love and his mind and wisdom all just begin to flow through us. He begins to go to work. He brings these beautiful solutions into our life that we could never make happen on our own. Just set us free to a new level. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace that if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to get right back in position again. Just takes a moment to get right back in position again, because every day life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we get off track. And it's learning to recognize that quickly and turn it right back around. How do we do it? We start with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody else, we take those steps. Then we start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And that what he put within us is more than enough. I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming at me today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me tap into it and cultivate it and see it flowing at a greater level in my life. You pray that simple prayer, you feel this shift on the inside immediately. You can start showing up and responding to those things in your life in a different way with God's help. And then we got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us, but we got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've been talking about, we just did it yesterday, putting some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are commitments that we're making to walk in God's standards for our life. For example, you might write a short phrase that goes something like this. God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And then when you've got the temptation to stress or worry or get fearful about something, you got the reminder, wait a minute, God's working for my good. When someone pushes your buttons or gets under your skin and you're tempted to retaliate or give them the silent treatment, you got this reminder, wait a minute, God does continually good for me. I'm going to do good for others. I'm going to give them grace, even though they're not treating me the best right now. And that filter helps to navigate us throughout the day. And then I like to start with gratitude and praise to get my positioning and to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen for a couple minutes. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay connected to him as we go throughout the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down, get connected with him, get charged up or powered up in him. Think of it like you're recharging your batteries. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm trying to figure things out. I'm trying to toil away in my mind, trying to figure things out on my own, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule, putting pressure on other people to make things happen sooner. I'm getting out ahead of him. On the other side, sometimes I was getting behind God because I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do? And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, and we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn about this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say? I felt like he was taking me back to the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1. What's the first thing God says in the Bible? It sets the tone for the whole Bible, which is, let there be light. So the first thing out of my mouth every morning, let there be light. And then I like to add, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. We get connected to him and then we start walking out that plan together with him today in full partnership with him, confident that he's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of just a simple, humble, childlike faith, that confident faith, his grace begins to surge through us and he begins to go to work. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life. A beautiful solution is one that I say this, it's one that we could not make happen on our own. It's a solution that God brings into our life. And rather than creating side effects, because the solutions that we usually come up with create a whole bunch of side effects that are not good. One problem just leads to another. God brings these beautiful solutions into our life that just create this ripple effect of good across all the different areas of life. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's talk about genetics today. I know this may be a new idea for a lot of us. Thinking about, we've got God's genetics. And to be honest, full transparency, I was a little hesitant to talk about this one today because it seems a little bit out there. But I really feel like this is something God was nudging me that we should be taking communion over to receive. If we're God's children, that means that we've got his genetics. And something I've got in my book, Cracking Heaven's Code, we talk about genetics. You know, in our normal genetics, we've got genes for things that we don't want in there. So think about that. First of all, we're getting God's genetics. We're getting a replacement, an upgrade on our genetics. But genetics, genes are expressed based on the culture that's going on in the body, what the body's experiencing on the inside. Genes are expressed. God's got all these genes, I believe, waiting on the inside to be expressed, to be activated and expressed, and to restore our bodies to their original design. I think that's the point of this. Why do we have his genetics? To restore our bodies to its original design. Just thinking about it, our bodies are God's temple. And there's phrasing in the Old Testament talking about how the temple had to be restored to its original design. So Heavenly Father, we're just thanking you today. That if we're your children, it means we have your genetics. We have your genes. A rich inheritance. We're inheriting these genes from you. And we thank you for that. And the power of that to restore our bodies to your original design. We thank you for that today, Lord. Think of the night Jesus was betrayed. He took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Just take a moment to remember both sides of the cross. On one side, all that he went through. Just take a moment to visualize and to remember all that he went through on the cross. But also to remember that on the other side, he was raised back to life. And that same spirit and power that raised him back to life now lives on the inside of us. We become his children. makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We can approach him with freedom and confidence. Father, we thank you for this bread. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It releases us from darkness, transfers us into the light. We have this covenant relationship with God, this personal relationship with him. So Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. Health and fitness. So if we've got a change of genetics, let's talk about what this practically means for us. How can we start practically walking this out? It means we've got to change how we speak about our own genetics and health. We've got God's genetics. We've got to change what we speak about our health. No more, you know what? It's impossible for me to lose weight. It's impossible for me to gain muscle. I don't have good genes for that. All that stuff's eliminated now. We've got to start changing the way we speak about it. And it's going to lead to some different actions, some different beliefs. We get this core belief rooted in our heart. It's going to cause some transformation to work out through to the outside, I believe. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.